When they had finished singing the song, whatever it was, when they had finished their latest piece of coyote trash, they yipped and hooped, howled and hollered and hopped, leaped and jumped and congratulated each other for being such wonderful singers and composers. Then they turned toothy grins on Madam. "What little owl think now of ripping and snort?" She rolled her eyes and gave her head a shake. "That was the worst song I ever heard or even dreamed of hearing." Their grins wilted. "Song not worst. Song gooder and goodest. Song expressorating deepest thoughts of ignoramus coyote brothers." "It was so bad, you may very well have set all music back 50 years.
"Little owl better not talking trash about coyote music, 'cause rip and snort bury greater singest in whole world. Also, hungry for owl supper, oh boy."
"If you're such good singers, and if your song was so wonderful, then why did those weeds over there begin to wilt in the middle of your song?"
All eyes swung to the north, to a small patch of careless weeds. By George, they had all withered and died.
"Ha! Must be pretty strong music, killing weeds."
"Yes, indeed. Poisonous is the word.
Ruffian brothers not give a hoot for weeds. Ready insteader for supper of fresh owl."
Their yellow eyes began to sparkle, and their tongues swept across their respective mouths. I was watching all of this from my hiding place in the brush, and I kept waiting for Madam to, well, do something. Why was she just sitting there? I mean, she had magical powers. Why wasn't she using them? Those were all interesting questions, but it suddenly occurred to me that Rip and Snort were fixing to make a meal out of her. And never mind the interesting questions. Unless someone took charge of the situation and... Gee, I sure hated to lose a friend like Madam Moonshine, but I wasn't the kind of dog who made a habit of butting into the affairs of, well, hungry cannibals. I mean, it wasn't my fight. I had problems of my own, and as a matter of fact, I had big problems of my own, and... But on the other hand, the brothers were creeping towards her with a kind of evil lightning crackling in their eyes. I could see that Madam was afraid, but I kind of admired the way she held her head up and faced her destiny. She had spunk and courage, that little owl, and it was just a shame. I pushed myself up on all fours and walked into the middle of the gathering. See, I'd come up with an idea. Whether or not it was a good idea remained to be seen. It was the kind of idea a guy comes up with on the spur of the moment and on short notice. It was based on something Rip and Snort had revealed about themselves in their song. They were ignoramuses. With a cover of boldness that covered the terror in my deepest innards, I went striding into the clearing, took a stand in front of the brothers, and stopped them with a raised paw. "Halt!" They halted and stared at me with big, puzzled eyeballs. "Rip, Snort, we don't have much time, so listen carefully. That song you just sang released a cloud of deadly poisonous gas over this whole area. We've got to get you out of here before..." I pointed towards the wilted weeds. "Uh-oh, it's already begun to work. You see, the fauna and fluoride have begun to die. The weeds will be the first to go, followed minutes later by trees and bushes, followed minutes later by animals, birds, and fish." The brothers exchanged long glances. "Guys, I gotta put the entire ranch under emergency poison alert, and I'm glad I found you before it was too late. I'm clearing out this whole section of the ranch immediately, at once." Snort scowled at me.
"Coyote brothers not wanting cleared out to be."
"I know, Snort, but this poison is like nothing we've ever encountered before." the brothers went into a whisper conference. I counted my heartbeats, hoping...
Rip and Snort just fixing to eat Little Owl, not wanting to leave good nourishment meal.
Holy smoke, Snort, that would be the worst thing you could do. That owl has soaked up all the deadly toxins. Eating her would be like eating a whole trainload of poison, train and all. Sudden death, that's what she is. They whispered some more. Then Snort gave a reply.
Coyote brothers not believe stupid dummy ranch dog. Brothers not scared of poison, cause brothers make poison with cannibal song. Ho, ho!
And you think that makes you immune? He stared at me with his brutish yellow eyes.
Coyote not immune. Coyote a cannibal, and proudest of it to be.
I had to think fast. Snort, we don't have time to argue. If you want to discuss this further, you can do it with the Wolf Creek Volunteer Poison Squad. They'll be here any minute with men and trucks and gas masks. That opened their eyes.
People coming?
Oh, yes, hundreds of them. In fact, I cocked my ear. Yes, I think I hear their trucks this very minute. They held another conference.
Rip and Snort still not believing dummy ranch dog. Not hearing trucks coming and not scared of poison.
It was looking bad. But just then, the wind rustled in the cottonwood tree above us, and you won't believe this, 5 or 6 dead leaves floated down between us. No doubt they had been scorched by the terrible heat, but the ignoramuses didn't know that. I pointed to the leaves. Uh-oh. You see? That tree just died from the poison, Snort, and with its last dying gasp, it has sent you a secret message. The brothers scowled.
What secret message?
Don't you get it? Come on, Snort, wake up. I came to warn you, and now the tree is warning you. It's telling you what to do. It's right here in front of your nose. I pointed my paw at one of the leaves on the ground. What is that?
Leave.
At first it didn't soak in, but then Snort's eyes popped open.
Leave?
Right, exactly. Noah, Lot, disaster, leave! They mumbled and muttered. Then?
Coyote know a lot. Smell disaster and leave like tree.
They began backing away. Then they turned and vanished into the brush. Just before they left, I heard Snort mutter,
that must be pretty strong music for sure.
Silence. They were gone. I almost fainted with relief. Then I heard Madam's voice behind me.
My goodness, unless my eyes deceive me, it's Hank the Rabbit.
We've been through this before, Madam, and I don't have the energy to argue. Hank the Rabbit's okay with me. I feel like a rabbit right now.
And you've sent the ruffians packing. I'm so proud. My goodness, they were going to eat me.
I noticed. I also noticed that you were going to let them. What's the deal?
Well, as you can see, they bound me with a grapevine, pinning my wings to my sides. And how can I do a proper job of casting spells without my wings? It can't be done. The wing is the sting. Disable the wing, dispose of the sting. Speaking of which, do you suppose you could unbind me? As it is, I'm bound to be tied.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I began gnawing on the grapevine. Whilst I was doing this, Madam kept me entertained with her chatter, such as,
you're tickling me. Stop that. No, don't stop that. Continue. I suppose you know you are gnawing on my ribcage, and I suppose you gnaw, knowing full well what you're doing. Now I know you gnaw, tra-la, tra-la, tra-la.
That was typical Madam Moonshine talk. She didn't always make sense, but she seemed to enjoy herself. At last I cut her free. She smiled and flapped her wings.
There, thank you, and thank you. But how can I ever thank you enough? Thanks is such a paltry gift, but if I offered you a chicken instead, it would be a poultry gift. Hence, by following the logic of the moon and stars, we receive the knowledge that mere thanks is more thankful than a chicken.
I guess so. Whatever. She swiveled her head around and studied me with her big owlish eyes.
Do you suppose we can use that information, Hank the Rabbit?
Cow dog, actually. Hank the Cow Dog.
Oh, rubbish. Cow dogness seems so boring and ordinary, but rabbitness has a way of keeping things hopping. And did I mention that you're spending the summer with me in my cave?
Huh? Spending the... No, we haven't discussed that, yet, madam.
Oh, piffle. I meant to tell you, but I was about to be eaten by cannibals, and it slipped my mind. And besides, you just got here. Come, let's retire to my cave, and we can discuss our summer plans.
She went hopping towards the bluffs on the other side of the creek. I followed. Although I was beginning to feel a little uneasy about the summer business. When we came to the tree that was decorated by her bodyguard, Timothy the Turbo Windbag, she stopped.
Timothy, you have been a naughty snake. How shameful and scandalous, allowing two ignoramus coyotes to tie you to a tree. I may be forced to review your employment record. It simply looks bad for a tree to be wearing my bodyguard. Come, Hank the Rabbit.
I followed her across the creek and to the bluffs. There she disappeared into a hole, and I followed. I crawled through the darkness for 10 feet or so until it opened up into a kind of underground room. She stood beside a flat-topped rock in the middle, with tree roots hanging around her head. She was looking down at the flat-top rock, and I didn't know what she was doing. Muttering, I suppose.
Go left, go right, stand up, sit down.
She glanced up at me and smiled.
My troupe of performing fleas. Would you like to say hello to them?
Not really. Fleas and I don't get along. That is, we'll get along fine as long as they stay over there. She clapped her wings together and turned her eyes on me.
Well, we are safe from marauding coyotes, and 'twas foolish of you to enter my cave, O Rabbity Hank, because I just might not allow you to leave. But before I don't allow you to leave, tell me why you came.
Well, madam, I have a small problem.
Oh, good. A small problem is only half as large as a large one, so we needn't bother with it.
Okay, I've got a large problem.
Oh, dear.
She blinked her big moon eyes.
What have you done?
I started at the beginning and told her the whole story about the grasshopper, the root stimulator, the mop water, and the fight I'd picked with Billy's pet gorilla. See, I talked my way into a fight with one of the biggest, meanest dogs in Texas, and I don't know how to get out of it.
Yes, it's coming clear. If you don't fight, you're a coward. If you do fight, you're a hamburger.
Right, and I was hoping that you might be able to teach me some fighting tricks, you know, like karate or judo. She rolled her eyes towards the ceiling.
Karate or judo, curse plotting menudo, we're plotting, but you know the answer is no.
Her eyes drifted down to me.
I know many things about many things, little things about big things, and big things about little things. But I know no things about fighting. In my line of work, we don't fight, we use our minds.
Yeah, I saw you using your mind on those cannibals, and it almost got you eaten.
But I didn't need to use my mind. You used yours. One mind is enough, yours or mine, and I don't mind that it wasn't mine. The result was the same.
We got lucky, madam. That was pure D, dumb, blind hog luck. And I just as soon have something more substantial when I go into battle with Rufus.
Rufus. An interesting name. Does he say roof, roof?
That's probably the nicest thing he says.
Hmm.
She she raised a wing and began stroking some of the tree roots above her.
Rufus, root stimulator, I am stimulating the roots on the roof of my cave. May I think about this?
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, we have the entire summer, don't we?
Well, I... To be honest, madam, I really...
Hush! Silence!
She closed her eyes and went into a thinking spell. I could only hope that it was a good one. As the minutes dragged by, I began to suspect that Madam Moonshine wasn't thinking about my problem. She had totally checked out and gone to sleep. I got a clue from the fact that she snored. Madam Moonshine, I don't want to rush you, but I'm operating on a deadline. Madam, wake up! Her eyes popped open. She stared at me and blinked.
You are in my cave.
Yes, ma'am, I realize that.
Were you invited? Where is Timothy?
Yes, I was invited, and the last time I saw Tim, he was tied to a tree. The coyotes, remember?
Oh, yes, it's coming back.
She yawned.
And I have found the solution to your problem. It's so simple, I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner.
She closed her eyes and raised her wings.
The universe is composed of three basic elements. Rock, paper, and scissors.
I thought the elements were fire, water, and something else. Mud? I don't remember.
No. Rock, paper, and scissors. Rock is hard and can break scissors. Scissors are sharp and can cut paper. Paper is obscurative and can cover rock. Which is the strongest of the three elements?
Well, I really don't know. But what does this have to do with...
It has everything to do with everything, oh, Rabbity Hank. It means that all things are strong, but all things are weak. Rufus is a rock. If you are a scissor, he will break you. So you must be... what?
I puzzled over the answer. A bigger rock? A sledgehammer? I don't know, madam. Her eyes flew open.
Paper, you ninny! You must attack him with your strength. Cover rock with paper. Attack the large with the small.
And then she dropped her voice to a whisper and told me the secret for winning the fight. You'd probably like to know the secret, wouldn't you? Ha ha! Not yet. Be patient. We have to wait and see if it worked. My next problem was getting out of there. Madam wanted to keep me for the rest of the summer, if you recall, because she was getting bored with her roots and snakes, I suppose. It took me several minutes of hard talking to convince her that I had a steady job and really needed to be going. She walked me to the mouth of the cave.
And I suppose this is goodbye, Rabbity Hank. Will you come see me again sometime?
Sure, madam, especially if your trick works and I survive the fight with Rufus. I'm still a little concerned about that.
Oh, piffle. Of course it will work. It's based upon universal principles. But just in case, I wish you luck.
Thanks, madam. See you around, I hope. And with that, I left her there, waving her wing. I walked past the tree where, yikes, I almost walked into Big Tim. He had worked himself loose and was sulking in a big coil on the ground. I made a wide detour around him, set my course to the east, and headed down the creek. I arrived at the appointed hill on time and with a few minutes to spare. Plato and Beulah had been watching for me, and when they saw me on the hill, they came at a run. Plato was the first to speak.
Hank, by golly, we weren't sure you'd make it, and to be honest, Beulah and I were hoping you wouldn't. It's just too risky, Hank. It's not worth it. We've put up with Rufus for a long time, and I'm sure we can stand it a while longer.
Beulah nodded.
Plato's right.
It's not your problem, Hank. And if anything happened to you...
What Beulah's trying to say, if I may intrude here, is that we would be upset, Hank. Very upset if... I mean, we appreciate your concern, but Hank, that dog is a killer. I know you're a pretty skilled fighter, but this guy is a professional thug. Call it off, Hank. Go home. Save yourself for another day.
Beulah nodded.
We'll understand.
I looked past them and saw... a huge Doberman Pinscher coming up the hill. His little green eyes were sparkling, and he wore a toothy smile.
Sorry, but I started this thing, and I've got to finish it.
Plato shook his head and walked a few steps away.
I knew it. Beulah, I told you he wouldn't listen to reason. Pride, that's what it is, just stubborn pride.
By that time, I could hear Rufus's footsteps.
Boom, boom, boom.
I looked into Beulah's eyes. They were pleading and lovely and... And then Rufus stepped between us. He pushed her out of the way. I swallowed down my fear and beamed him the sternest gaze I could come up with.
Rufus, I've already warned you about being rude to the ladies. I guess you didn't listen.
I guess I didn't, Bozo. And so what? I don't listen to you or anyone else.
He squared his shoulders.
Are you sure you want this? 'Cause I ain't gonna show any mercy.
Good. Neither am I. Let's get started.
Plato and Beulah gasped and turned away. Rufus lowered himself into a crouch and began circling me.
What did I do? I engaged the Madam Moonshine strategy, and you're probably wondering what it was. It was very simple and very sneaky. Remember what she told me? Attack the large with the small. Remember her trained fleas? Before I left her cave, she loaded them on my back with orders for them to attack the nearest warm object when I gave the command word. Tally-ho. And that's just what I did. All at once, my back came alive as two combat divisions of hungry fleas went on the attack. In a matter of seconds, they had hopped to the ground and then on to Rufus. He was still circling me, grinning, growling, sneering, glaring, and preparing to launch his first pile driver attack. Then, all at once, his eyes blanked out. He stopped, sat down, and began scratching his ear with a hind leg. Hey, Rufus, what's the deal? I thought this was a fight.
Shut up, moron. I've got to scratch. Don't leave.
He scratched, stood up, and faced me again. Then let out a squall and started biting at a flea on his tail section.
I'll be with you in just a... Gadzooks, these fleas are killing me.
Hey, Rufus. When you get tired of scratching fleas, let's talk. See, I'm the one who brought them. And I'm the only one who can call them off.
He snarled at me.
Why, you...
Yo!
All at once, he was spinning in circles. This must have gone on for several minutes. Beulah and Plato turned around and began watching. And then, laughing. At last, Rufus had had enough. He had chased his tail so long and hard that he was worn out.
Okay, okay. Call him off, I give.
Fleas, halt.
The instant the fleas stopped biting, Rufus bared his fangs and jumped me, which gave me a little preview of how the fight would have gone without the fleas. In 2 seconds, he had me laid out on the ground and was sitting on me.
Okay, smart guy. Now you'll pay.
I saw his lips rise and his sharp jaws open wide.
Please, tally-ho! Tally-ho, and don't spare the horses!
They must have stuck him pretty hard because all at once he was rooting around in the dirt, chasing fleas and screaming for me to call him off. I got up off the ground.
Fleas, halt!
They halted and Rufus stopped scratching, panting for breath, He looked at me with weary eyes.
Okay, Cowdog, you win. But you had to cheat to do it.
Call it what you will, Rufus, but the result is that you're going to be a better dog. See, I'm leaving the fleas with you. They're going to be your conscience. They have been programmed and trained to attack at the first sign of rude behavior. What do you think of that?
Oh, swell. I always wanted to be a good dog. What a drag.
You'll get used to it, and when you do, the fleas will return to Madam Moonshine, who, by the way, was the brains behind this deal.
I never heard of her, but if I ever get my paws on her, I'll...
The fleas stuck him. He gritted his teeth until they stopped biting.
I'll tell her. Thank you.
How sweet.
Yeah, my ma would be proud, even if I ain't.
He heaved a sigh and started walking back to Billy's house.
What a lousy punishment. I've got to be good for the rest of my life. I ain't sure I can stand myself.
When he was gone, I found myself looking into Beulah's adoring gaze.
Oh, Hank.
She flew into the middle of me and engulfed me with hugs and kisses.
You were so noble and heroic. How can we ever repay you?
I was about to suggest that she could start by ditching her bird dog boyfriend, but he was right there in my face, pumping my arm and slapping me on the back. By golly, Hank, what a triumph! Using trained fleas. Now that was clever. Who would have thought of that? Nice work, by golly, nice work! He shouldn't have done all that pumping and slapping. It must have jiggled my innards and stirred things up in my... There was Beulah, standing next to me, with the light of love shining in her eyes, within my grip and grasp. And all I could think about was... I looked into her lovely face and saw mop water. She had become a dirty mop, and I couldn't stand the sight of her. And fellas, I was so sick, I had to get out of there. And now you know why the mop water files must remain top secret, and why I can never tell this story to you or anyone else. It's just too sad and tragic. Sorry. Case closed. You can leave now, and don't drink any mop water. I was sick for 3 days. How can that bird dog be so lucky?